Amen, amen. Well, thank you, music team, for taking us to that place this morning. Well, back in September, we began a series that we are going to be walking through until next September called The Mind of a Disciple. And the point of this series has been to better understand what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus, what it means to be his disciple. How we live as followers, what we think about, how we see the people around us, and how we live in relationship with God in this broken world. And so from now until Easter, and we enter into that season, we're going to walk through the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to look at the example that Jesus gave us as he models life for us to follow. Right? He came to show us and pay the price for our disobedience on the cross, and he offers us life everlasting, but he also came to show us how to live, came to show us how to walk in this world, to be an example for us to follow. And as people who follow Jesus as their Savior, we're called to walk after him, to seek him, to walk with God in relationship in the same way that Jesus did. Now, what on earth does that mean? Right? How do we practically walk with Jesus? How do we follow his example of how he had relationship with the Father that models it for us? How do we do that? And I will tell you right off the bat, it has nothing to do with answering people's questions with parables or finding a best friend named Peter. But as we look through the story in Luke today and our theme verse more specifically today, but throughout the rest of this series, my hope is that we see that Jesus has come to not just offer us salvation and life everlasting, but offer us a restored relationship with Jesus, or with God and with one another. And how we live in those relationships is the example that he's given us. So, if you want to follow along in your Bibles with you this morning, we're going to be reading from Luke chapter 2. It's also going to be on the screen behind me there. Luke chapter 2, we're reading verses 25 to 32, and then afterwards we're going to jump to the book of 1 John. Bless you. Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 25. Sorry, a little different. It's good, though. Verse 25, reading down to verse 32. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And so moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." We're going to jump over to the book of 1 John. We're going to read from chapter 2, verses 3 to 6 here. And this is our theme verse for this next season that we're going to be walking through. 1 John chapter 2, starting at verse 3. "We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. And this is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did." When you first come to new life in Jesus and begin this relationship, it is amazing. It's wonderful discovering all these promises and all the hope and joy that is afforded to us through relationship with our Savior. And as I'm sure some of you can relate as well, we don't always get it right in following Jesus, right? As we have been called to live a new life and to no longer conform to the patterns of this world, but instead to be transformed and renewed and to walk in obedience with God, I know I didn't always get that right. Maybe I'm speaking for us all here, but I remember one particular conversation when I was at the age of 16 or so with my parents, where I told them that I wanted to become a carpenter. You can kind of see where this is going. They looked at me a little confused because I had no skill or talent in this area. But as I'm sure you guessed, part of the reason was I thought that this was following in Jesus' footsteps to do exactly like he was doing, so I thought I'd become a carpenter. But that's not what John is getting at here. Right? He's not saying that we just need to walk as Jesus did in those sandals that he wore and in a robe that he probably would have as well. He doesn't just tell us to follow Jesus in some abstract ways, right, to come up with nice resolutions or to be good to people or to nice to people. John says that if we are to live in relationship with God, with our Creator, then we must follow Jesus' example of love, of obedience, and of sacrifice. Right? And it's the exact same thing that we find in the rest of Scripture. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus is talking to his disciples that if they want relationship with him, if they want to continue following him, then they must, as he says, deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow him. Pretty easy. Right? It wasn't a literal statement, though. It wasn't his disciples needed to carve a wooden cross and carry it around. It was a way of life. It was a pattern of character that they should follow, to choose each day to live in obedience to God and relationship with Jesus. And it's the same thing that Paul teaches in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. He says, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Paul even defines what that life of love looks like. Right? He says it looks like Jesus. It's like following in his footsteps and sacrificing of ourselves for the benefit of others. Because Jesus didn't just come to tell us how to live. He did do a lot of teaching when he was on earth, but he also showed us through his birth, through his life, his death, his resurrection, and he demonstrates for us what it means to be in relationship with God. And from that place, he invites us into his same relationship with God. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," Jesus says. "No one comes to the Father except through me." Only Jesus, only through him can we have relationship with the Father. Right? And before Jesus was born into the world, this Messiah, this Savior, was longed for hundreds of years, for centuries, before he actually came and to restore a relationship with God that was broken by our sin. Right? The story of Simeon is one we read at the Advent season as well, but could you imagine what it would have been like for him to hold the infant Jesus as the Messiah? Knowing that this tiny infant was going to bring light to the world in a way that would forever change it. The light for revelation to the Gentiles, as Simeon proclaimed. The light that finally revealed God to the world that we might know him in relationship again. Not through another set of rules, like the Old Testament law, but through a relationship of obedience with Jesus. It's also worth pointing out that knowing God is inseparable from keeping his commands. John points out that he doesn't say, if you know a lot about God, then you know him, right? He says, if you will know me if you keep my commands, if you follow my teaching and listen to my directions, that is how you live in relationship with me. Now, obedience to God's command is not the way that we earn more of his love or gain our salvation, right? It's rather the evidence of our salvation. It's the evidence that there has been a change within us. Right? In John chapter 14, Jesus says, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." Right? It's not defined by our emotions either, or how we feel, but by what we do in action. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus tells us this familiar story that a good tree doesn't bear bad fruit, and a bad tree doesn't bear good fruit. And so you will know what type of tree it is by the fruit that it produces. And he says the same of us. We are known by our fruit, by what we produce in the way that we love others, not by our feelings. And John even gives us a fairly serious warning here, right? Against the mindset that we can claim to love God but produce no love towards others. He calls them liars. It's a pretty heavy read in this short section. People who say they love God but don't love people. He even goes as far as to say the truth is not in them. Right? To love God is to obey God. To follow him is to follow his commands. And all of his commands are summed up in love. That's what it means to walk with God. It's not checking off a list of religious tasks or punching your Sunday attendance card, right? It's about living a life of love just as Jesus did. And just as Jesus laid down his life for us, we lay our lives down for those around us to love. And it is, if you're feeling a little bit overwhelmed by that, a lifelong transformation, not an overnight thing. Right? Beginning on this walk starts with a choice. One choice: to deny yourself, to pick up your cross today, and to follow him. And as you continue on that path, the more you walk it, the more easy it will become to walk that path, the deeper in relationship you will experience with our Father and with others too. And by doing this, we learn to abide in him, to live in his presence, and to be shaped from that place of his presence into who he's created us to be. And so our relationship with God is about direction, not perfection. I would wish I wrote that one. That was in a commentary that I read. But I was like, that's a good one. Direction, not perfection. Right? There will be many moments in your walking with God that you will stumble, that you will do everything but follow his commands. In fact, each person who follows God will come to this point of failing to keep God's commands at some point. Right? There's no perfection or sinless perfection on this side of eternity. There can be seasons of falling out of habit in abiding, but that doesn't mean that God has abandoned us. Our walk with God isn't about perfection, but direction, about having a heart that is molded into his character and nature, a heart that desires to follow him. And when we do stumble, we get back up, right? We turn back to Jesus and we continue following him. But two, we need to see that our actions are the fruit of our relationship with God. John 15, Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the... Nice. If you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. Right? It's the same way that an apple will only grow on the branch if it's still connected to the tree. In the same way that we will only continue to grow more into his likeness as we live in relationship with him. It's both an internal and an external transformation. What I mean by that is, as we live in obedience to Jesus, our external actions do change, right? The ways that we live in this world will be affected, but two, there's an internal change, right? Our hearts begin to be transformed. They begin to be softened to more fully love God and to love others. Following Jesus is growth and transformation in both of these areas, not just one or the other. Because what can often happen is that when we try to make some external change on our own efforts without having an internal change of heart, we simply become workers who do the right thing at people with no love in it. Right? We begin to care more about doing the right things than we do about loving people in the midst of the process. And to have an internal change of heart without an external change of action, that's what John is pointing at here. He says the truth is not really in them. They are lying. It's pretty heavy. But we also find the same thing in the rest of Scripture. Micah 6, verses 8, he says, he has shown you, O man, what is good. What is good, excuse me. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Right? Both an external acting of justice and an internal change of love towards God. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. Hosea 6, verse 6, God says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. In Jeremiah chapter 7, he says, for when I brought your ancestors out of Egypt and spoke to them, I didn't just give them commands about burnt offerings and sacrifices, but I gave them this command. Obey me, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. Walk in obedience to all that I command you, that it may go well with you. This is their encouragement to have both an external change of action and an internal change of heart. And Jesus modeled that for us still. By the example of the way he radically loved people. Right? Jesus didn't just choose to love people from afar. It's not that God sent a message or wrote us the Bible and threw it at us from afar, but he came down to us to live in the midst of our own brokenness and to save us from that place. Right? He wasn't born in a fancy hospital or even in a nice house. He was born in a dirty manger of some innkeeper. He was born into a poor family. Right? The passage we just read talks about them bringing their sacrifice into the temple. And in the Old Testament law, it required that you bring a year-old lamb in order for your sacrifice. But if you weren't rich enough to afford a lamb, you could also pay two doves or two pigeons, which is what Mary and Joseph offered. He wasn't born into a family of status, of riches, but he connects with us here in the brokenness of what we experience. And he didn't keep a distance from the brokenness of the world either. He entered fully into it. And by that, he gives us an example to follow. To not to stay away from the brokenness of this world, but to step into it in the world around us to make a difference. Right? To be vulnerable. To risk our comfort and security at the expense of loving others, even when it's difficult. And when we do this, Jesus is our example. We can follow that. But even more than that, there is an incredible example that Jesus gives us that can give us far more hope, knowing that he has undergone much more humility than we ever will know in this lifetime. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul is talking about the way that Jesus had humbled himself, and he says that Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Jesus was at the right hand of the Father. He was living in sinless perfection. He was in heaven where everything lived in perfect obedience to who he was, and yet he gave up all of that to come and be with us so that he might save us and restore us back into relationship. Right? The greater you are, the more humility you can experience, and the infinite greatness that Jesus has, and when he took on the humility that we can only catch glimpses of in our moments of self-humility. And in that way, we are invited to follow after Jesus, to imitate him, to suffer for the sake of others, not counting ourselves more important than other people, but humbling ourselves and allowing ourselves to come alongside the brokenness of this world. Right? Being a disciple is not just following a list of rules. It's about relationship with God who transforms us from the inside out. Jesus came to this earth to show us how to live in relationship with God, and then he invites us to follow after him. And this morning, we get an opportunity to celebrate just that as we take the communion meal together. And as we do, we remember the ultimate act and sacrifice of love that Jesus gave up for us on the cross. And it was through obedience to the Father that Jesus went to the cross and made a way for us to walk in relationship with him once more. And from there, he invites us to follow him, to walk with him, right? To live in obedience to the Father as we lay down our lives for God and others. It's 1 Corinthians 11 says this: "The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Eat this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'The cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" And we proclaim that it is not by our strength or efforts that we have been brought back into relationship, but by his sacrifice on the cross. That is an example for us to follow. I'd encourage you, as we have stations set up around the sanctuary this morning, you can feel free to come to whatever station by yourself, with your family, or whoever you came with this morning. But we also have gluten-free options at the front here in the back. I'd encourage you to reflect, though, this morning, as you take the elements, reflect on where Jesus is leading you, how he's encouraging you to see his humility and to model that in your own lifestyle. But I'd encourage you, as you come up to take the communion meal together, you can walk back to your seats afterwards, or if you're unable to make it to one of the tables here, our elder Ed will be walking around. Please just raise your hand and he'll come to you. But let's pray. Father, we thank you. It is by your great sacrifice that we can know relationship with you and be in relationship with you, Father. As we take this meal and recognize the great sacrifice that it took for you to bring us back into relationship, God, we recognize that you've done this all out of love. because you care for us, because you want and desire a relationship with us. Father, I pray that you'd help us to respond to that today. Help us to know you more through this. So, Father, we give you this time. We thank you, Jesus. Amen.